From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. Since February, Baltimore has been testing a program that offers individuals stopped for minor drug or prostitution offenses treatment and other social services instead of arrest. Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion, or LEAD, aims to reduce the number of people jailed for low-level crimes while tackling the opioid overdose epidemic. We speak to Baltimore Police Captain James Roden of the Central District and Krista Taylor, president of the nonprofit Behavioral Health System Baltimore. By avoiding an arrest record, Taylor says, diversion can be more productive.
The treatment system can hold people accountable too, but in a supportive way that helps them go further in their recovery than the criminal justice system with the consequence hanging over their head.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. 5 months ago, the Baltimore Police Department began sending some individuals stopped for minor drug offenses or prostitution to treatment rather than arresting them. It's called LEAD, which stands for Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion. It's being applied in the western half of downtown, which includes Lexington Market. The LEAD initiative began in Seattle 6 years ago, and several cities across the country are now piloting LEAD programs. LEAD is one of the ways Baltimore is addressing the opioid overdose epidemic. Baltimore saw 176 overdose deaths in the first 3 months of this year, the most in the state, and 63 more deaths than during the same period last year. The vast majority of these deaths involve the highly potent opioid fentanyl. Individuals who qualify for diversion will be matched with a case manager and receive services such as mental health or substance abuse treatment and housing aid. Joining me by phone to talk about the LEAD program is Captain James Roden of the Central District. He's been a member of the Baltimore Police Department since 1992. Welcome to On the Record.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you.
Captain Roden, as I understand it, there are two ways for an individual to be recommended for diversion, either through a stop referral or a social contact referral. Tell me about these referrals and how they work.
So the stop program is when one of my officers come into contact and have enough probable cause for an arrest of an individual for a low-level narcotics prostitution offense. So what happens is the officers then, they vet that person to see whether they fit the criteria for leads, and it has to be in our pilot zone because that's where we're operating currently. If they do meet the criteria for the program and they have no open warrants, no recent violent crimes on their record, or they're not on parole or probation and they're supervised, we vet them, we figure out whether they meet the program, and then we hand them off to the case manager. That's how the stop part of the thing works. When you look at social referrals, that gives us a little more leeway, even though we still have the criteria set up similar to that. It just doesn't come in we don't come in contact for an arrest. So my officers could know the individual on the street, have already had a previous relationship with them, maybe have locked them up in previous history, or really just sees a person that's really in need of some help. And that gives us an opportunity to see whether they're willing or they would like to participate in the program and receive our case management and funnel them into our program that way.
Both of these kinds of referrals need to take place or be connected to the western part of downtown, the pilot area of LEAD?
Yes, ma'am. At this point, LEAD is still in its infancy stages, and we're in our pilot program. So intentionally, it was designed to be a smaller area because so many times we roll out, not us, the police department, but government in general will roll out a cookie-cutter program and expect it's going to take off and run and be successful in all phases. Well, most of the time we find that it ends up falling on their face. So we really wanted this pilot program to be specific in nature, to a specific area where we could control and look at our numbers in order to gauge its success. Seattle seen a great amount of success on their program, and the area in Belltown that they use it in is very similar to the area in which we have it in the downtown area.
Why not choose an area like Sandtown Winchester or Harlem Park, where there's so many, such a high concentration of people who end up in prison?
Now, when we started playing this thing out almost 2 years ago, we looked for an area that was similar to the area in which Seattle did their program in, which really fit well around my Lexington market in that west side area, as well as the prescription drug market around the Lexington market area historically has been high. So they was a great target area for us to pilot this program.
This program runs from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And my first thought when I read that was, well, a lot of drug activity happens at night. Why only during the day?
Like I said, keeping the pilot program small, that's a large portion of our time around our Lexington market and the downtown area, that part of the west side, where it sees the most activity. But that doesn't preclude you that if something happens outside that time period, that you can't be included in it. It would just be, instead of really doing a arrest diversion, it would be more of the social referral.
What kind of training did your officers receive for this program?
Sure. So every officer in the Central District that works anywhere in the downtown area under my command had received training in reference to lead protocols, what qualifies, what doesn't qualify, so the formality parts. And then they also received harm reduction training, having them have the skills to be able to realize that arrest may not be always the best thing, and that we need to look at it in do a different way. So harm reduction is making anyone's situation any way better that we possibly can.
What was the most challenging part of that training for some of your officers? I mean, you're describing it as a new way of thinking about approaching these low-level offenders.
One obstacle is we're looking at crime as the symptom of a bigger problem. And that bigger problem is substance abuse or behavioral health issues. So you have to solve the issue before you can solve the symptom. Having that in mind and really communicating with our officers during this training period, that this is the way we're thinking. We've had wonderful reception with them for the program. The officers get the buy-in because they get to see the success stories that we have and that we've had so far in our program.
What would you say the success stories are?
We have, one of our clients has been sober for 5 months. He hasn't been sober for 5 months in years. That's a success story. When they get to see the individual on the street and they actually walk up and talk to the officer and they don't slink away to the other way and avoid them, that's a success story for us. The officers that are really involved in this program, our constituents and our clients that we have, literally text these officers and the supervisors on a daily basis. They want to let them know how they're progressing through the program. They're excited about it.
That's Baltimore Police Captain James Roden here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about LEAD, a pilot program in Baltimore City that diverts low-level offenders to treatment rather than arresting them. Captain Roden, has there been a reduction in arrests in the Central District since LEAD began?
I think it's a little too early to see whether it's a reduction in arrest. What I can say is the participants that we have, so far, we've only had one rearrest with the people that we've come in contact with, which for me is tremendous. And hopefully after we finish our pilot program and we're able to put our stats together and our numbers together, we'll see an overall arching reduction.
The Baltimore State's Attorney's Office is a partner in this program. What happens if someone commits another offense while they're in the LEAD program?
So each individual is treated as an individual. So there's no hard, fast rule saying, okay, well, you can't be rearrested and you'll be out of the LEAD program. But it also doesn't mean because you're in the LEAD program, you can't be rearrested. working very closely with the state's attorney, and we actually have a dedicated state's attorney for our program, which has been a phenomenal asset for us. We work as a group, and we look at the individual holistically and see what's going on. Is there something different happening? Does this person need to be arrested? Is that something that's more suited for their situation to really get them into other treatment? Or are they being responsive and this is just a hiccup? You know, we all stumble and fall. And I think it's our responsibility as this program to be there to help them get back up. Most of them don't have people there to help them get back up. So we're really their cheerleaders and they're really their support network.
Have some individuals who have been offered diversion turned it down?
Only one person that I've had, one individual that I know of, has turned down leads.
Any idea why?
When asked for it, they simply said, I'm just not interested. That person may not be ready for treatment or help that we can possibly give them. You have to be ready to receive treatment, or you have to be ready to allow us to help you.
I mentioned that Baltimore saw 176 overdose deaths in the first 3 months of this year. On a day-to-day basis, how would you describe the impact of the opioid epidemic on policing in the Central District?
Well, I think the opioid epidemic, of course, we see it, and we call it an epidemic because that's exactly what it is all over Maryland. No stranger to the Central District as well. Police are more cautious when they handle overdose cases. You know, my officers are trained in Narcan, so they're able to administer that right on the scene, which is a lifesaver, as you know. With the LEAD program itself, we've had four overdose reversal referrals. So we've had four people that we have come in contact with that have overdosed that, you know, my officers have either met at the hospital or were on the street that we were able to bring into the program.
I want to make sure I understand. This was their entree to LEAD.
Absolutely. Yep. This was their introduction to LEAD. So, you know, my officers got a call for an overdose in the pilot area as well. We've actually taken our clinician teams to the hospital to meet them and to facilitate and get them rolling in this program if they're eligible. And we've had four of them from our overdose reversals, which is phenomenal. Any inch we can take back from this fight that we're in is a mile.
What would you need to see about results of LEAD to know that it makes sense to expand it?
You know, on the law enforcement side, we'd like to see the reduction in recidivists go down. You know, Seattle saw a double-digit recidivist reduction with their program. I'd like to see that here in Baltimore. So the people that we come in contact, you know, we're getting them out of the system and giving them the help they need and getting them on their feet so that they really become productive members of society. The program is set up and designed to really impact that individual immediately. You know, the other programs, you got to wait a month to do this, or there's 2 months to do this, or there's 3 months to do this. We really have worked very hard to line up resources to be able to be impactful right away. You know, everyone talks about policing community relations now, and that's a hot topic all over the country. This is another way for us to repair those relationships and show that we're actually part of the solution. We're not the problem. We're not the enemy. And this is what we want to give out.
Captain Odin, I really appreciate your talking to us about this. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Captain James Roden, a 26-year veteran of the Baltimore Police Department, is in charge of the Central District. He oversees the LEAD program, Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion. We're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, we'll talk about some early results of LEAD with the head of Behavioral Health System Baltimore, as well as the potential to scale this program up. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the LEAD program, Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion. Baltimore is piloting this approach to addressing the opioid epidemic and to reducing the number of people jailed for minor drug offenses and prostitution. Rather than facing arrest for minor offenses, individuals are connected to social services such as drug and mental health treatment. With us to talk about LEAD is Krista Taylor, a licensed clinical social worker who's president and CEO of Behavioral Health System Baltimore, which oversees LEAD. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you.
So once an individual agrees to participate in the LEAD program, what happens?
They are then connected. They call Baltimore Crisis Response, who is our provider for the service. Baltimore Crisis Response responds to the police officer on the scene and meets with the individual, conducts an assessment, and helps them meet the needs that they have by connecting them to services or treatment.
Well, that's a whole lot. What kinds of services are we talking about?
Well, there's a lot of different services. I think the key thing about LEAD is that it's a harm reduction approach to the service delivery.
What does that mean?
So harm reduction at its core, it's a philosophy. And at its core, it's coming from a place of non-judgment and really working with where the client is in that moment. So a lot of strategies are used to increase awareness around the dangers of substance use, but also about behavior change and moving from safe drug use to managed drug use to abstinence and recovery. So there is a case manager, a clinical person like a clinical social worker, and a peer, which is somebody with lived experience. They are part of the LEAD team. So when I said a team responds to the individual, it's those three personnel who are working with them and talking with them. And the key to the service delivery is the peer aspect. So somebody with lived experience, lived history of substance use.
When you say a peer is someone with lived experience, tell me what that means.
That means somebody who in their lifetime has struggled with and recovered from substance use. And so they are able to talk about their own personal experience and how they've achieved recovery in a very different way than a clinician can talk with an individual who might be actively using and trying to figure out, how do I get help and how do I recover from this illness that I have? So it's that power of human connection of people who have similar histories and somebody who has worked hard to achieve and maintain their recovery and passing on what they have learned from that and supporting somebody through that process themselves.
So how do you recruit peers for this program?
People who have lived with substance use and have recovered have a commitment to helping other people. And what we've learned in the field, I myself am a clinical social worker, what I've learned is that I can't have that same connection as somebody who has that lived experience. And people have, it's really become a key personnel role in the field of behavioral health and valued just as much as the treatment professionals that are there. Because you can prescribe medicine, you can conduct counseling sessions, but really helping people live with the illness that they have and learning how to cope with it and move on in their recovery, the support that people need, it's very, very important. And people want to give back and they participate in it. And it's paid employment for people as well.
One of the things I noticed is that this LEAD pilot program operating in the west part of downtown Baltimore operates from 10 to 6, sort of banker's hours. I mean, why is it not 24/7?
Well, we have limited funding at this point, and that's something that we are looking at is how do we sustain this program? Not only sustain the pilot, but we would really love to see it grow to every jurisdiction. This is something that has been done without additional resources to the police department. Our funding is going to help with the treatment that and the connection to services that people receive, and we need to figure out how to sustain that and grow it as well. We have grant funding from a variety of different sources, and we also bill Medicaid for a portion of the services. But to grow it, we're going to need more funding.
The bulk of the funding for this pilot program, I know, came from Open Society Institute Baltimore. Where are some of the other grant funding coming from?
Governor's Office of Crime Control and Prevention, ABLE Foundation, and the Blaustein Foundation. We also need to look at the cost savings of the program. This is an effective service delivery. Started in Seattle, and they've shown a reduction in costs of over $2,000 per consumer.
These are reduction in costs in the criminal justice system.
Yes. So what we would like to see is a reallocation of those savings into the actual service delivery.
Do we have a sense from, for example, Seattle's experience of whether the savings in criminal justice expenses of arresting, charging, booking, going to court, whether those savings are of the same order of magnitude as the cost of the extra services that participants in LEAD need?
I don't think we have that full understanding yet, and that's something that we're evaluating. This program's being evaluated by Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. That's one aspect of what they're looking at, is what are the real cost savings, and then we can turn that into what would be a good sustainability plan.
That's Krista Taylor, a licensed clinical social worker who heads the Behavioral Health System Baltimore. We're talking about LEAD, a program that aims to reduce the number of people jailed due to low-level drug offenses by diverting them to treatment and other support services rather than arresting them. So what results have you seen so far? LEAD has been operating in Baltimore since February, right?
Yes, since February. There are 38 active clients, and since February, there have been a total of 89 referrals. We're seeing people get connected to the help they need, and to housing and to employment. Another interesting thing that we're seeing is that these are individuals that have never had contact with the public behavioral health system before. So these were people that were going in and out of jail, but in need of treatment and services. And this has really served as an alternative access point to people getting care.
So at any given time, you can have 60 participants.
Yes.
So are you bumping up against that ceiling?
Not yet. Probably in the next couple months. It's hard to tell, because people can get connected to services and move on into existing services where somebody else will be providing the treatment and support that they need. So it's a revolving number, but at any point in time, it's 60 people.
Krista Taylor, what makes this program different from other programs that aim to keep people out of jail? I'm thinking of drug court, for example.
What makes it different is that people aren't even in the criminal justice system. To get into drug court, you already have to be arrested, processed through central booking, and moved on through the criminal justice system. This is not arresting people. This is putting people directly into the care that they need. So it really helps people stay out of the system and really get the services they need so that they can move on in their life.
Some people might say, but the pressure of knowing if I don't make good in this program will keep folks on the straight and narrow in a way that a purely voluntary program doesn't.
I personally believe that anything we can do without force and without consequences like that is better in the long run for somebody's recovery. And so this is really working with them, meeting them where they are, educating them, supporting them, and getting them the help that they need. And the treatment system can hold people accountable too, but in a supportive way that helps them go further in their recovery than the criminal justice system with the consequence hanging over their head. So this has really been a shift in culture for the police department, and the police department's been wonderful in responding to this, and this really gives them a tool. The police are here because they're people, just like we're people, and just like the participants in the project are people. We want to help. That's why people are in the helping profession, and this gives the police a resource that they have to connect people to help rather than have the legal system being held over somebody's head, and which doesn't necessarily get them the help that they need right when they need it.
Some people will not get to abstinence. Some people will not lick their drug habit under LEAD. Everybody's path will be different.
Yeah, everybody's path is different. Everybody has their own personal path to recovery, and how they define recovery is different for every individual as well. And if they are not being arrested, not using the hospital or needing hospital care, and working and taking care of themselves, that's okay. Recovery is a personal thing. And that's why the role of the peer is very important, is to educate people about the harm of substance use, but also safe ways of using, and then how to move on to managed use and hopefully abstinence and recovery.
You mentioned that to expand this program, there will need to be funding. But beyond that, what would LEAD have to show to make it worth expanding? How will you look to figure out whether it's been successful?
I think we need to look at the outcomes. Are people getting better? Are they better off? And Seattle has shown that people have been connected to housing and employment and services more than they were before, and that by doing this, it's saved the system money. That's what we're going to be looking for here. Are people better off? Are individuals, families, are communities better off? Part of the evaluation is also going to be looking at what's the attitude in the response of police officers around individuals with substance use, and how is the community responding to police officers? This really helps improve the relationship between the person on the street and the police officer.
Krista Taylor, thanks.
Thank you.
Krista Taylor, a licensed clinical social worker, is president and CEO of Behavioral Health System Baltimore, which oversees the LEAD program. Earlier, we spoke with Captain James Roden of the Baltimore Police Central District. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.